This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
You ought to be able to have somebody notice that you are a Christian before you even tell them. They ought to look at you and say, there is something about you. And that don't mean that's an opportunity for you to brag on yourself. There's something about you. You ought to just sit there and just wave your hands and everybody fall out like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, the presence of God in you means that your presence should demand an explanation.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. At work or simply needing to hear from the Lord, tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times. We're in this together. No matter where we are World Changers. See you online.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. I think this is our third week as we have been dealing with humility and how grace will teach humility in our lives. And I believe that this is a path that as we take this path and ask the Spirit of God to help us down this path, it is going to position us for a lot of things that we've been trying to make happen on our own. And as we begin to recognize the difference between arrogance and pride and bragging, and ask God to help you to see that. Pray to God, Lord, don't let me deceive myself. Amen. Don't let me walk around in arrogance and pride and then say to myself, I'm not arrogant or proud. Help me not to deceive myself. Help me not to hurt myself. And then show me and assist me down this path. I decided each sermon series, it's a path that we're all taking. We're all taking this path together. And God's going to be able to do some things as a result of us. I'm not expecting anybody to be flawless in this path. We're taking this path together and asking the Holy Spirit to help us with this. Amen. Our key scripture for this series, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. Let's read it in the King James, and then I'll go back and look at the New Living Translation. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. So now if you choose the path of the proud, God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. We want to choose the path of humility because He gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. So He says, so humble yourself so God can give grace to you. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So notice what He says. Humility leads to being honored or lifted up at the right time. Now, the key to that is the right time. And the right time may not be the time you think. But the key is to lift you up at the right time, that God is going to exalt you in due time. And so due season always comes. It's not if it comes, but when it comes. And God says, if you clothe yourself in humility and begin to walk down the path of humility, you are going to experience a moment of being exalted. How many of you are ready to be exalted? My prayer is, I've never seen a, I don't know if maybe I have. I just want to see this church. I want to see you as individuals and families and marriages. I want to see you exalted by God. I want to see you exalted by God in so many areas that when people come and ask you, you have no choice but to say, this is the Lord's doing. You're not even thinking about taking credit for it. You're not even thinking about, you know, telling people, well, you know, since I went from praying for 10 minutes to an hour and a half, see, that's what happened. No. You're just ready, so willing and so ready to humble yourself and say, I made myself subject to God. I submitted myself to God, and He lifted me up. He exalted me in due season. And I believe that's where we are. I believe that you're about to be exalted, and for each of you, God knows the right time. That's why it's important for you to mature. It's important for you to allow the hard things that you're going through to mature you. It's important for you to allow those things that, I don't know why this is happening to me, I do, to mature you. And as you mature, then praise God, you know, hopefully that right time, that exalted time will show up. But I know this is what I've learned, because God just asked me, what have you learned? I've learned this, that we must mature. And there are lots of things you're not going to be ready for if you don't go down the path of maturity. And you know, maturity in the Christian life means you're not holding out anymore, you're not backbiting anymore, you're not just hopping in bed with folks. You're mature enough to know not to do those kind of things. Okay, you don't walk by yourself and don't speak to yourself like you do other people. You're mature enough to know. And what's happened is sometimes hard times have had the opportunity to mature you, to bring you up, to say, you know what? I'm not going to waste any energy on being stressed out on that. If the news is stressing you out that bad, turn it off. You know, go to that old station and look at some Andy Griffith and some My Three Sons or something like that, and just stop it. You have a choice. You get to make a choice. You can choose to sit there and be stressed out by stuff, or you can choose to say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be stressed out today. And I'm going to turn my phone off, because I don't want anybody to call me and get me out of focus. I just want to focus in on what Jesus is saying to me today and do what needs to be done. But somehow we love to gravitate towards the garbage. You know, the comment sections on social media, we just love to go over there by the garbage to see how the devil can do something to mess with us. But we must mature. Christians have got to mature. Mature Christians are not racist. Mature Christians are not operating division all the time. Mature Christians are not doing all those little baby stuff. Amen. Okay, we know how to love, and we are maturing in the love of God. And this church said amen, right? I mean, because some of you are looking at me like, well, what are you talking about? I'm mature. I've been saved for 30 years. The number of years doesn't qualify your level of maturity. Your maturity is going to be based on your character. It's what we've come to know about you. What we come to know about you. Have we come to know that you're a mature person and you carry yourself on a level of what the Word says? Or are you immaturity? We can expect for you to act like a baby and fuss and to blame, and it's that person's fault and mad and I ain't going to speak to you no more and I don't like you no more and I'm leaving the church because y'all didn't like my idea and all that. That's immature people, baby pamper people. And we have got to mature, and God is going to give us a lot of opportunity to do that. So I believe we're going down this path of humility so we can mature in it, so we can grow up in it, so that God can exalt you in due time. And you're going to look back and say, oh, I see why I hadn't been exalted. I wasn't mature enough. I used to love, like, what Taffy Zad used to say when you try to go and tell him something. He'd say stuff like, you don't tell me, I'm grown. You can say that because you've been saved a long time, but when we look into your heart, have you matured in the love of God and in the things of God? Amen? Now, that's not what we're talking about today, but let me read this. Go down to the next verse. He says, humble yourself, and then he says, I'm going to test your humility. Cast all your cares upon me, for he cares for you. So the man that casts his care on God is a humble man, because he made himself subject to God. He submitted himself to God. He did what God told him to do. All right? Casting your care upon God because he cares for you. a man that refuses to cast his care on God, he's in pride. You know, God says, cast your care on me. You're like, I'm not going to. Well, God says, no, cast your care on me. I'm a worrier. And if I want to worry. Yeah, you have a choice. You can be a worrier, but you're also a prideful worrier because you won't submit to what he just instructed you. Well, if you humble yourself, he says, we'll be able to tell how. All right, cast your care upon me. He said, prideful people won't cast their care upon him. Prideful people won't cast their care upon him. So you think, oh, you're making a big deal of it. No, the deal is, if you're operating in pride, you're not operating under the things that God's asking you to do. That's a prideful person. Somebody can go around and they can be shy. Oh, well, they're just a shy person. They're not prideful. You know, I've seen more prideful people that are shy because they're doing the way they want to do it instead of what God wants you to do. And that's really the dividing line between an arrogant, prideful person and humility. Are you submitted to the ways of God, the words of God, and the instructions of God? And then he says he will exalt you up and he will lift you up. Let me read this to you out of the NLT real quick. Verse 5. He says, in the same way, you younger men must accept authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Wow. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and at the right time, not when you think it's the right time, but when he thinks it's the right time, he will lift you up in honor. So give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. The test of humility. Now, we said last week that dependence upon God will produce humility in your life. When you depend on God, when you rely on God, when you lean on God, when you depend on God, that will produce humility in your life. I was believing God for a healing. Let me see when this was. I believe in God for a healing. And I would just say, you know, God, thank you, I'm healed. And then the Lord says, well, what does it mean to depend on me? I said, well, Lord, I depend on you. I trust you. Man, it was a huge awakening moment for me. He says, you really depend on me? I said, yeah. He says, you're not making any confessions over your healing. I said, well, I still depend on you. He says, yeah. I can tell because you've put that aside to do something else. He says, your dependence on God, when you depend on God, you can tell because your dependence on God will lead you to those actions that depend on God. Look at that in your own life. We can say we're something, but you can look at the fruit and not see it there. And I was convicted. And I'm like, if I really depend on God, then why don't I engage in those things that I believe I'm supposed to do to say that I depend on God? As Christians, we got to be so careful not to just make everything we hear about just a real quick confession. That's a great thing. But in my life, it was like I really depend on God. And you can tell because every morning I'm up here making declarations of what I believe I've received. To do that's an action of dependence upon God that's born out of my dependence upon God. So you say you're dependent upon God. What is that giving birth to as far as what you do? I depend on God. So what is that giving birth to? I trust God. And what is that giving birth to? I know giving is a huge harvest of me depending on God, or reflex. And I guess that's the word I'm looking for. That's pretty accurate. The reflex. Somebody says, I love God. What's the reflex? What's the reflex that comes as a result of you saying, I love God? I think the path I'm going down is I'm really digging into getting Christian people to look at your Christian life so you can say to yourself, this is phony or it's real. You know, it's just a bunch of talk, or I'm actually doing this, you know? I love God. So there's a reflex. There's a reflex that's born out of that love that I say I have for God. There's a reflex that's born out of that humility that I say I'm clothed with. I'm very, 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 very in intentional and with a lot of intensity trying to deal with how to live this grace life now. How do I live this grace life on an everyday basis? How do I unpack the sermons when you come to church? How do I unpack it? And what does it look like when I get home? Clothe yourself with humility. What are the reflexes of that humility? The reflexes are, I'm not bragging about what I do. The reflexes are, I'm not, you know, making myself subject to what self wants to do, but what God wants to do. And you can see the reflexes of what you say you believe. I depend on God. Where's the reflex of that dependence upon God? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So when we talk about your everyday life, not a quick confession. And listen, yes, you know, we do confessions every day. Yes, but somehow the reflex, it ought to show up. Think about other stuff that you really believed in. That, you know, that's not even in the Bible. That was a reflex in it. We saw you doing something as a result of what you told us. Oh, I see what you're saying. I think it's cool to be able to still see what you're saying. And I think every Christian, we ought to be able to see what we're saying. Because if we're just saying stuff, but you can't even see what you're saying. It's just kind of fake, isn't it? And it's time for the phony to die in our life. We've perfected phoniness. We got to get rid of that phoniness. And listen, I tell you what ought to happen. You ought to be able to have somebody notice that you are a Christian before you even tell them. They ought to look at you and say, there is something about you. And that don't mean that's an opportunity for you to brag on yourself. There's something about you. You ought to just sit there and just wave your hands. Everybody fall out like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, the presence of God in you means that your presence should demand an explanation. That's what I'm after. I'm no longer preaching a social gospel, the gospel that makes everybody happy and everybody floods world changes because they just love what I'm preaching. I'm trying to drive as many people away as I possibly can by preaching the naked truth that irritates you when you get home. Because I feel if you can get irritated enough, you might just calm down and start thinking about what I'm talking about and then realize I got some work to do. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need you, Lord. Help me. So that's what we're after in this series. So, you know, like I said last week, there's a deep-rooted desire to be something, for men to be something, if not openly, yet in the heart there persists the feelings of self-importance. Everybody wants to be self-important, and that's what this humility fights against. We want to exalt him and exalt him only. We want to give him all of the glory and all of the praise. And we don't want to use church because we failed in the world to as a platform to try to be successful in the church where we couldn't do it in the world. But it's not even a real relationship. It's just something we're using to bring attention to us. Amen. Okay, let's get started today. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. We left off talking about Paul being so amazed with what the cross brought forth and how humble Paul is and how humble Paul was when he was on this earth. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10 in the NLT. Now listen to this, because this can be true in our lives. Verse 9 says, Paul says, "For I am the least of all the apostles." Wow. He said, "In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." That's deep right there. Paul was the one that persecuted the church, had Stephen killed, and God turns around and makes him an apostle. How he gonna be walking around prideful about what he did? What he did was persecute the church. And notice what he says, verse 10, the next verse. "But whatever I am now," Paul says, "it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but it was God who was working through me by his grace." So the cross and the grace that flowed from it produced in Paul a deep humility. What grace? Because Jesus died on the cross,
This grace was made available. Things you didn't deserve came as a result of Jesus dying on the cross. All of us in here, thank God, we don't get what we deserve. You understand that? Oh, my goodness. We don't get what we deserve. Because if we got what we deserved, we would all deserve hell. So go to hell would be a real big reality if it were not for Jesus. And the only thing you can respond is say, you first. But because of Jesus, my goodness, Paul was, put yourself in Paul's shoes for a moment. He went around persecuting the church, having them killed, just reaping havoc in the church. This was a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee who was a big-time believer of the law of Moses. And what Paul was doing, he thought it was right. Because under the law, when you didn't do certain things, you were supposed to be stoned to death. You were supposed to be killed. Paul was zealous about the law, like so many people in the church are. Paul was zealous about the wrong thing after Jesus had come. Mm. And we still got people who are zealous about the wrong thing, but Jesus has come. But they honestly think it's the right thing. We all did. That's why you got to be patient with people and let God finish the work with them, because you were just like that too. You used to believe the same way. I used to believe the same way. So you just got to be patient with people, right? And so here's Paul believing it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Kill him. You're speaking against this person. Stone him to death. Do that. He was the leader, the chief Pharisee, right? And then while he's on his way to persecute the church, no seminary school, no Bible study, nobody laying hands on him, nothing. Oh, my God. He's on his way. Let's go persecute some more Christians. Jesus, the glorious light must have came all over him, fell off his horse. It blinded him. It blinded him. Glory to God. And he said, Paul, or at that time before he was Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecuteth me? And Saul said, I don't even know who you is. Who is you? He says, I'm Jesus whom you persecuted. He said, I ain't did none of you. He said, you did it to them. When you persecuted the church, you persecuted me. All right, watch this. I need to hear him get this boy mature. He's blind. Oh, my God, Boshata. The guy who Paul persecuted, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, I want you to go and pray for Paul so I can use you to open his eyes. Now, I wonder how many of y'all would have said, oh, yes, amen, Lord. Some of y'all would have said, you got to be kidding me. Do you know what he did to me? No, Jesus, I love you and everything, but not today. Today ain't today.
How do we keep a humble attitude in a world that exalts pride and arrogance? Creflo Dollar's series, The Path to Humility, defines humility and demonstrates how God's grace will teach us to walk in this godly trait. Available as 4 CDs for a love gift of $25 or 4 DVDs for $35, this series can be yours today by calling the number on your screen, scanning the QR code, or visiting creflodollarministries.org and clicking eStore.
Changers e-members, partners in those changed by the message of grace,
we're coming to Los Angeles on January 27th,
Houston, Texas, February 23rd and 24th. This message changes everything.
You're going to want to invite everybody you know and make sure they get their seat before we're sold out.
Make sure you use the information on your screen to register right now. We'll see you in your city.
I pray that this broadcast blessed you today. I want you to pray about sowing a financial seed into this ministry. I also want to extend a special thanks to those of you who have remained our loyal partners, supporters, and friends. Your financial support goes a long, long way. Your donations help equip us with what we need to send this broadcast all over the world. And when you give to this ministry, you partner with us to reach people everywhere who are hurting and in need of the revelation of God's grace and love.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, there's something about opening your mouth and declaring what the Word of God says.
He knows what's down the street, around the corner, behind the building, and you're immediately getting upset because you rubbed on the genie lamp and the genie didn't give you your three wishes. That's not how this operates. It's a relationship with God. He is our Savior, praise God. He is our way in. He is our way out. He is our joy. I don't know if you understand, but you are about to move to your next level. That's what it means to be exalted.
Get the message of grace any way you want on the Creflo Dollar TV app, mobile app, the Changing Your World podcast, and daily confessions on YouTube. Stream service live 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday with re-airs at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Join us online as we bring you praise and worship from the World Changers Church family and the Word of God from Pastors Creflo Dollar and Taffy Dollar. For more information, visit us at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.